They'll check your eyes on any given day, but they'll also research pitcher's ERAs from the AL to the NL to the minor leagues. John and Zeke got you covered. Yes, please. Now it's time to sit back, listen, and relax, because you're about to hear at least an hour of baseball fact. Just two dads telling jokes, and they're probably wearing Crocs. But ladies and gents, here come the Dugout Docs. Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again. We are back here with the Dugout Docs. I am John Ismond, here, as always, with my good friend Zeke Grissom. Zeke, how are you tonight?
Doing great, John. I just want to say sorry to all the listeners for pushing us back a week. Last week, I had some optometry business to attend to on Tuesday night. Threw us off, but this week's opening day week, at least here stateside. And we're excited. So let's talk some baseball.
Absolutely, Zeke. Zeke, is it fair to say last week you worked hard and this week you're ready to play hard? Is that fair?
Couldn't have said it better myself, John.
There we go. Well, Zeke, I need to introduce another guest that we have. We're very happy to have this guy here, bringing his baseball analytical knowledge to the table once again. A fan favorite from last year. We've got Justin with us tonight. Justin, how are you, man?
Doing good, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing good, man. How's school going? I hear you're on spring break. You keeping busy? Having a good time off of school this week?
Yeah, I just went down to Memphis to watch some March Madness games. Unfortunately, my team lost, but really chilling for the rest of the week.
Yeah, well, very good. And your team is the Baylor Bears, correct?
Yeah.
What drew you to Baylor, Justin?
Man, ever since I was little, just it's like I just randomly selected some teams and stuck with them all the way and plan to continue to stick with them.
Now, that makes sense. And Justin, funny story, I think you'll appreciate this. Zeke, you probably will too. So in the spirit of March Madness, I just looked over and I have a bracket. This bracket is filled out by my daughter, Eloise, who's almost two. And what we did is we put the logo of each team for each matchup on my laptop here. And I asked her to pick which team she wanted, which logo she liked better. And that was who she picked for the matchup. And Justin, funny enough, she picked Baylor to go to the national championship game. So she was the Baylor Bear. She likes the logo.
Who's she got winning it?
So her final four is all gone. So it's completely destroyed. South Dakota State, because she liked the bunny rabbit. Baylor, the Vermont Catamounts, and then Texas, which she called the Texas. She called it Orange Moose.
When it came, that's not in love with Texas, but hey.
Hey, there you go.
I'll take Baylor going all the way.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen, as you saw, right?
No. Yeah, we're still riding high on 2021, man.
That's right. I was going to say, as somebody who watched Michigan win the National Football Championship, man, I'm going to be talking about that forever. So you're right. 2021, Baylor gets the win. So you're absolutely right.
Right.
Continue to brag on that. Well, very good. Anything else to share with us, Justin, here before we ramp into some baseball?
I just wanted to kind of talk about how great of a time it is to be a sports fan right now. Think about it. Middle of March Madness, we got the NBA playoffs coming up in about a couple weeks for the play-in tournament. However you feel about that, I enjoy it though. We have hockey in full swing. We have women's March Madness going on, opening day on Thursday. We got the Masters in April. I mean, we just got everything. NFL free agency, NFL draft, college football spring practice. And we got everything as a sports fan right now.
That's right.
You know what he left off there, John?
What did we leave off?
Lacrosse didn't get a mention here.
the men's tournament, right?
Yeah, right. No. You're totally right, though, Justin. It's a great time to be a sports fan. Really. Yeah. A great diversity of sports going on right now. Even if you think the high school sports, I mean, I know I'm in a kind of a small town community and you got high school baseball, soccer, softball going on. So sports are in the air and it's awesome.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. Probably the best time to be a sports fan. We all love football, right? Like, don't get me wrong. There's something about having the NFL going on that is great, but it is nice to have that diversity. You know, no matter what sport you like, you can kind of pick your poison this time of year. There's something in it for everyone. Even if you love football, like Justin said, you got the NFL draft, you've got free agency going on. You've got guys like Cam Sutton for the Lions who just go missing out of thin air. Right. So it's a great time for sure. For sure. Justin, what's been the game of the tournament so far? As we got to talk a little bit about March Madness. What's been your favorite game to watch?
I'm going to say Creighton and Oregon just because I did see it. Texas A&M and Houston was probably up there.
Yeah.
So I actually had tickets to that game, but unfortunately I was not able to stay for it.
Yeah.
But that would have been awesome. But man, Creighton and Oregon, at the end of regulation, Creighton comes down, hits a shot with about 8 seconds left to tie it. And then at the end of overtime, the guard for Oregon hits a deep three to tie it. And then Creighton just ran away with it in the second overtime. But man, even for it to go into overtime, that's rare for March Madness. And then all those crazy shot making. Yeah, it was a great game.
Absolutely.
I also have Creighton in my Final Four. So
there we go.
Hoping.
That was a cherry on top for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, my bracket's not busted. I got all Final Four left, so I'm pretty happy about that. I don't think that's
happening. Me too.
Yeah.
I think I'm in like the bottom 10th percentile in brackets.
Hey, man. You're actually in third. You're in third, man.
Yeah, you're
probably in third in our bracket?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, dang. Okay. Okay.
Even though you put probably as much thought into it as Eloise did, right?
No, she definitely put more thought into it.
There you go.
Definitely put more thought into it.
Well, we love basketball, right? Can't deny it. Great time of year. But guys, something else happened last week right before the big dance. And we got baseball started last week with the Dodgers and the Padres playing overseas. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we get into it. But are you guys ready to talk about the good old the baseball, America's pastime, and get into it tonight?
Let's give the people what they want, John. Let's go.
Let's do it, guys. So this is our last of the three previews. We're going to cover the AL West, the NL West, kind of similar to what we've done before, talking about what are the big additions to some teams, what are some offseason losses that we had, what are some of the things that we expect from these teams and these divisions. And we'll start with the team that won the AL West last year, albeit via a tiebreaker. It's the Houston Astros, a team that's been a regular dominant force in the American League West. Fairly quiet offseason for Houston, in all honesty. The big news, of course, was Jose Altuve, their heart and soul, signed to a five-year extension. So that's great. Get that second baseman back there. A little bit of shakeup in the bullpen. Hector Neris decides to move on. He is now a Chicago Cub. But they do sign, arguably, historically, one of the better closers in the game in Josh Hader, who agrees to a massive five-year deal, which I feel like is pretty big for a reliever. He's going to bolster that bullpen a lot. I feel like the expectations are always high for the Astros. It seems like that this is another year where it's pennant or bust for Houston.
Yeah, I would agree. Kind of feels like, though, that coming here soon, their dynasty run is going to start to slow down a little bit, just people, contracts expiring, things of that nature. But, yeah, man, the Josh Hader signing, I feel pretty great about. Like, I mean, Ryan Pressly, I mean,
yeah,
top 10 closer when he was out there. So that's a great 1-2 punch. And Hader struggled 2 years ago, but, I mean, he had a bounce-back season last year. So, I mean, I thought that was a pretty splash signing for what they were able to do with the limited amount of money they had, because they have so much money in other places. But their bullpen is very strong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think what you've seen in this offseason is how teams are starting to recognize the value in closers and really prioritize them, especially with teams that are contenders, like a team like the Astros. Overall, they have such a well-rounded lineup, and to be able to cap a game off at the end with a strong closer like Hader, then to have that flexibility with Pressly as well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And Zeke, something you just touched on was the power in this lineup. I mean, it is you look at this up and down. There's not a weak spot. There's not a batter that you can take off here when you go through Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, who presumably it's been talked about, he's going to be bolstered up to the number two slot, which is very scary for starting pitchers. And then Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, who's in a contract year, Jose Abreu, who was kind of starting to figure it out in the second half of last season. You've got Yonier Diaz, Chaz McCormick, Pena, Jake Myers. I mean, it's a loaded lineup. My concern is something we talked about last year on the podcast that we thought would be a real strength for them was the rotation. Kind of faltered a little bit last year. Wasn't bad, right? But not exactly what we expected to see from guys like Christian Javier, Hunter Brown. I know they did trade for Justin Verlander halfway through last season, but he's going to start on the IL. Is it fair to say starting pitching is probably the one weakness here in this division for Houston?
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Do we really think Lance McCullers is ever going to pitch again? Like, consistently? Probably not. No. So, yeah, I mean, especially the back end is struggling. I mean, Christian Javier, I mean, he's one of these best shape of my life guys. He's down 15 pounds this spring. So we'll see if he can get back to where he was in 2022. Valdez is obviously always solid. And you're hoping for a breakout from Hunter Brown this year. He got a little unlucky last season. So high BABIP, that type thing. But, I mean, he's striking guys out. But it's the last two guys. You have Ronald Blanco. I don't even know much about him. And then JP France, he was all right last year. But definitely want to upgrade the end of that. Obviously, getting Verlander back. But he wasn't himself on the Astros last year, though. So age could be getting to him as well. So, yeah, I would definitely say it's not their strong point.
Absolutely agree on all accounts. I do think this will be a pretty weak point for him. Framber Valdez is the innings eater that's always dependable and out there. Yeah. But then literally that's it. Like Justin talked about Christian Javier, he's had his spurts, and Brown has had the prospect pedigree that people look to. But an ERA of 4.56 for Javier last year and 5.09 for Brown, that's not necessarily something that you lean on and you depend on. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
I will
we'll
say
see
though,
how Verlander bounces back. But they need some help.
They do love making moves at the deadline. Yeah, they make one splash move at the deadline every year. So,
yeah,
see that happening again.
That's a good point. You kind of wondered. I know for me, I was waiting for the shoe to drop with them because they were linked to Snell, especially down at the end when he ended up going to San Francisco. A little bit of link to Jordan Montgomery as well, and they decided not to sign either of those. So that tells me either they think Verlander's probably going to be back soon, or they're not worried about some of the guys in the back end of the rotation because they didn't make that move. But yeah, I could definitely see Justin. I could see them trying to get an arm at the deadline, especially with a guy like Alex Bregman, who, as you said earlier, Justin, not a whole lot of money to spread around. A lot of these guys are locked into big contracts. Bregman's deal is about to expire. They may try to see what they can get for him at the third base spot if they want to move on from him. Kind of depends on what season he has, but just something to look out for there.
How do we feel about Bregman? I mean, like, I don't know. Every year it's like this is his year and he's just really going to go all out. But I feel like he's just, I don't know, he's just kind of, I mean, he's not mediocre, but it kind of feels that way. He gets just like lost in the sauce to a certain extent throughout the season. I mean, he's pretty consistent, but like, I don't know, man. Like, there's something to be left. What's the saying? Like,
something left. Something more to be desired.
Yeah, that there we go.
Well, I think a lot of folks looked at that 2018 and 2019 campaign specifically. He had 41 bombs in 2019. Pulled it up here. And he hasn't been able to emulate that. So I think we saw that in 2019. Everybody said, man, this guy's going to be the superstar. I mean, he's kind of been overshadowed by Altuve, a little bit of injury trouble, especially in 2021. And even guys like Yordan Alvarez out hitting him now. But last year, I mean, 25 home runs, 98 RBIs, he hit .262. So I think he's a really great ball player. I think you're right, Justin. I just don't think he's that superstar that we thought he would be.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that just kind of flies under the radar. Because just like I agree with Justin, as far as that is my outlying opinion of him. However, when John starts reading off the stats, there's still some pretty good statistics. Numbers don't lie in that regard. So Bregman's just a good cornerstone to hold down third base, but to meet the $30 million that he's due each year, I do think it'd be great for them for him to take just a step up this year.
Yep, and you start to wonder. I know he's been one of those guys linked to the sign stealing scandal, and his stats really benefited from that if you look back at it. So maybe a little something in that too. I'm not gonna put I'll put my tinfoil hat away for now, but
A couple big moves are interesting things in the offseason for the excuse me, Astros. Kyle Tucker moving up into the third spot.
yep.
I think he's perennially been batting sixth, I believe, for Houston, even though he's been an all-star caliber bat for a couple years now. We'll see if that increases his production as a batter. But you also got to keep in mind, though, when you move guys up in the order, pitcher strategies change a little bit. So I think Tucker will succeed, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough looking at Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker, and Bregman. Imagine getting ready, warming up, and that's who you're going up against the first inning. I mean, that's pretty brutal. I mean, good for the Astros, but not good for the rest of the division. So yeah, that's the Astros right now, and we can probably bounce back on them here in a little bit when we talk about this next team, because I think we would all agree that it's kind of these two teams as being the front runners. In the AL West, some might say the Mariners, but I think it's primarily these are the big two. It's Texas Rangers, team that, as I mentioned earlier, tied in terms of overall record with Houston, didn't win the division based on the tiebreaker, but ended up working well. The Rangers won the World Series, defending World Series champions. A little bit of turnover with the roster here. The biggest loss that you could mention here would be losing Jordan Montgomery, their lefty, who really came on strong last season throughout the second half of the year and in the postseason. Now, I can't remember, guys, but he was traded from St. Louis last year, or did he have the full season in Texas? I can't quite remember.
I think what you said the first time was right, that it was like midway.
Traded. Okay, so traded and ended up being really making a name for himself here. He's going somewhere else. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But they also lost some guys, some smaller pieces. Mitch Garver, who was really productive for them offensively. Austin Hedges, who's another catcher. Aroldis Chapman, Jake Odorizzi, Martin Perez, Ian Kennedy. So kind of minor pieces here. You look at some of the additions across the board. Nothing that really stands out. You look at guys like Kirby Yates to bolster the bullpen. Tyler Mahle is going to come in the rotation. And I think Michael Lorenzen was added last week. So he was a guy, all-star for the Tigers last year. Pitched okay for Philly, but kind of fell off. Wasn't even rosterable in the playoffs for Philadelphia, which was a bit concerning. But the big news for Texas has been kind of injuries, right? So injuries to some of their stars, but also some of the young guys in their system who got a little bit of a chance to play last year and are getting the opportunity to shine right out the gate, including Evan Carter, and then also Wyatt Langford, who was added to the opening day roster. So some excitement in Texas. What do you guys make of some of the shifting that we've seen with the Rangers? Any concerns, any excitement? What's your general vibe on Texas?
I think Texas is another team that's leading a league-wide trend of homegrown talent coming up and really changing ball clubs. The guys you mentioned, like Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford, they got guys like
Josh
Justin
Young.
Foscue, who just missed the cut as well.
Yeah.
Sebastian Walcott, I think, was a high draft pick recently too. These guys are just bolstering an otherwise very strong team. And I'll admit, a couple of years ago, whenever Texas went out and spent all the money on Semien and Seager, I thought that was really going to lock them up and kind of tie their hands from being able to make a strong bit of a ball club. But they must have been looking ahead because they have got a strong lineup for right now.
Yeah, they do. It's been interesting. They kind of done this hybrid approach, right? Where they have some guy. I mean, they pretty much built, handpicked the rotation, and they built a rotation, which is not easy to do. And they won a World Series doing that. And then, like you mentioned, you have Seager, you have Semien as well. But yeah, there's a lot of good talent evaluation in this organization. I think having Wyatt Langford there, he could be a star. I think he's probably going to be a rookie of the year candidate, if not a front runner in the American League. Even guys like Josh Young, until he got hit with the injury bug last year a little bit, he was in line to be rookie of the year as well. So a lot of fun young talent to watch there, along with some cornerstones. I wish my team would go out and sign a big guy like this. So, I don't know. It's okay. Justin, what do you think about Texas? Are you high on the Rangers? Do you think we see a little regression? Are you concerned about some of the starting pitching depth? What do you think?
I kind of want to compare the Rangers to the Denver Nuggets of the NBA, actually.
Okay.
Just came off a title. So what I'm trying to say here is that I expect a little regular season regression. You look at the Nuggets season this year, pretty slow start. I mean, now they don't have a guy like Jokic who just hates the game that he plays, but that's another story. doesn't enjoy his job at all, but they're just kind of, I don't know, on autopilot. Now we're in the second half of the NBA season and they're just running through teams. I will say Mavericks did beat them. Kyrie Irving, buzzer beater, left-handed hook shot. But yeah, man, I can see the Rangers just having a little bit of autopilot to start the season, which could hurt them in their division anyways. I fully expect them to make the playoffs still. But I think one thing that could help with that, though, is all the young guys they have. I mean, if you're an Evan Carter, you're trying to prove something. If you're a Wyatt Langford, a Josh Young, you're trying to prove something because you're still up and coming. You're not proven. So that could help them a little bit. I will say, like you said, back into the rotation, really struggling. You don't love to have, I mean, Cody Bradford. You don't love to have Dane Dunning. I mean, Andrew Heaney, everyone thinks he's going to have a solid year. Then he gets injured. I mean, I've fallen for the trap a couple of times. I was like, Andrew Heaney's the guy this year. Didn't work out. John Gray was pretty solid last year, but you don't want him as your two. Eovaldi, I mean, it's not a number one, right? And he can't even really stay healthy. So Scherzer on the IL, Tyler Molly, that's a solid signing, but he's coming off Tommy John. Is that right? I believe so. So, yeah, I mean, while their lineup's great, their pitching and their bullpen, I mean, they lost Aroldis Chapman, Mama's Boy. They lost Dean Kennedy. They lost a couple guys. And so they're basically relying on Jose Leclerc to close. And he had a pretty good postseason, but it's not the greatest, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's very good analysis. I think Texas, they're kind of at the point right now where they're like, hey, we won the World Series. That's great. You know, we'll try to retool. We'll try to rebuild. But, hey, we won the World Series. So, you know, not going to overspend, not going to do anything crazy. I'm a little surprised they didn't try to extend Montgomery, but I think that was kind of a game with agents, right? With Scott Boras. And I think that's part of the reason. If he was represented by somebody else, he may have just said, hey, screw it. I did well in Texas. I figured something out. So that hurts him a little bit. A lot of it, I mean, we'll see what happens with DeGrom and Scherzer. They're kind of always on the shelf. You think at some point they're probably going to come back this season. And if they do, this could be a team that, you know, maybe they fall in the standings. They don't win the AL West, sneaking with wild card. But if they're firing on all cylinders, they very well could repeat just because of how dangerous their offense is and how good that top tier pitching can be. If you were to pick today, who do you think is going to win the AL West between these two?
I will say the Mariners are pretty sneaky.
Okay.
Justin loves the hot takes. I'm actually going with Houston.
Yeah.
I do think they've been there, they've done that, which Texas has too at this point, but they just have a more well-rounded lineup. And I value pitching, whether that's starting pitching or relief pitching. So I think it's going to be a fun division to watch, but I'm going to give the edge to Houston right now.
I think so too. And one other thing to note though, is Houston, you said been there, done that. One guy who hasn't is their manager. They did have a turnover in manager. Joe Espada taking over this year. So that may play a role down the stretch. We'll have to keep an eye on that. But I'm with Zeke. I tend to lean Houston a little bit just because they're dependable, just because they've got that powerhouse of a lineup. But I think two teams that are built very, very similarly, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that race in the West. But one other team that Justin said, hey, don't sleep on them yet. We can't discount them. That's going to be the Seattle Mariners. Seattle Mariners, very active on the trade market this offseason. They were able to acquire Luis Urias, Luke Rayleigh, Mitch Haniger comes back. And the big one was Jorge Polanco. So that was probably their biggest add this season, or this offseason, was Jorge Polanco. Other free agent signings included Mitch Garver, Austin Voth, nothing crazy going on there. But Jorge Polanco, really that guy, it's been kind of a mystifying position, that second base position for Seattle. I know they tried to throw Colton Wong in there, but Polanco last year, 255 batting average, 14 home runs with Minnesota. The problem is he only played 80 games, and it's been an issue for him. He's not as durable as he once was. When you look outside of that, I mean, it's a lot of the same for Seattle. I don't see them upgrading the roster a whole lot. Eugenio Suarez is going to Arizona. Jared Kelenic, which we've talked about a lot, or Jared Kelenic, whatever, I always pronounce it wrong, I feel. He's in Atlanta, so that project didn't work out. Robbie Ray, who they signed after his Cy Young campaign, didn't really get any use out of him after, he had his Tommy John issue. So I don't know. I look at this roster and I don't see any big splashes for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. I wasn't very impressed. But Justin, I know you're high on them. Talk me into it.
I mean, that's definitely fair. I will say that obviously Julio was great last year too, but I think this is his MVP year. No Ohtani anymore that's holding you back from winning the MVP. I think this is his year. He's just gonna have a great season. I don't believe he's gonna. He had a slow start last year, if you remember. Probably not gonna happen again this year. He's just gonna blow out everyone and run away with the MVP. Yeah, they did sign Jorge Polanco and batting third. Probably not great that he's that high in the lineup. I will say I like the Mitch Garver signing the most for them. Big power guy. He does need to stay healthy, but he's gonna be fully DHing now since they have Cal Raleigh batting fourth. I mean, I could see a solid year coming in for him. They re-signed Mitch Haniger. He's always great in Seattle, it seems like. But the thing I stick to is they have great pitching. They have a great closer in Munoz. Rest of the bullpen is eh. But their rotation is really what is intriguing. They did just lose Brian Wu to the IL, which hurts a little bit, especially my fantasy team. But it hurts their rotation. But I mean, you go down, you got Castillo, that's an ace right there. George Kirby, I feel like he's gonna break out this year. I mean, he had like the lowest walk percentage in MLB last season, I believe. You got Logan Gilbert, he's pretty solid. He does have some home run issues. Bryce Miller, that's a potential question mark of he could have a great year. You don't really know. And I'm not sure who their fifth guy is gonna be now with no Brian Wu, but whenever Brian Wu does come back, close enough. But I mean, he's very intriguing. I was pretty excited about him before his injury. So, really, the pitching is what I lean on to try to find like having a good season. It's just leaning on their pitching depth.
You know who I'm looking forward to having off the injured list, Justin?
Zach.
My man, Matt Brash, Mr. Pitching Ninja Phenom himself. That's a joke, but kind of true at the same time. I love Matt Brash and that wicked slider he's got. But yeah, I think opposite of the Rangers, if Seattle's gonna win things and really make a run for it, their pitching is gonna have to carry the load. They just don't have a lot of standout bats in the lineup. Kind of reminds me of a Milwaukee Brewers
Yeah,
type
I
lineup
agree.
where they've got a couple guys at the top, somebody like Yelich, maybe a better version of that, and Julio Rodriguez. But then just a bunch of guys that are average to above average MLB players that get the job done, but don't really do it in a flashy way. Guys like Ty France have been around for a few years now, and you hear his name every now and then, and he has a decent batting average most of the time. And they just got a lot of guys like that. So if their pitching can keep them in the ball games, really it's anybody's game in the MLB. So make some clutch hits at the right times and just play a well-rounded ball game, and they can make a push.
Yeah, it's possible. And now that I look through the line, I kind of agree that it's nothing crazy, but Cal Raleigh has kind of solidified himself as probably top five offensive catcher in the league. And you add Mitch Garver to that as well. Like Justin said, probably going to primarily DH. The thing that I think is interesting is in the offseason, the last couple of years, it seems like the Mariners have just kind of been shuffling around these different parts and trying new things. I know a couple of years ago they got Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker. Winker completely flamed out. His career hasn't been the same since his time in Seattle. And then also you look at even last year, the big signing was, hey, they traded for Teoscar Hernandez, and nothing really happened there. So you kind of see, okay, they're bringing in Garver, they're bringing in Polanco. Maybe they're seeing a little improvement there, but maybe this front office is saying, hey, we're not going to win by overpowering these other teams in the division with our bats. Let's just focus on our pitching, which is why they gave up so much capital to acquire Luis Castillo a couple years ago. So I could see it happen. I just think that the firepower at the top is a little bit too strong. I think the Mariners' best case scenario here is sneaking into that last wild card spot, which is very possible. And if they do that, what wins in October a lot of times? Usually solid pitching. So it's possible. It's possible. But I think that the Mariners, in my opinion, are just a step below the other two. Don't fight me, Justin.
I think you've actually kind of convinced me that the back of their batting order is pretty rough. I mean, really, the last half, not even just the back.
I think it's fair to say, though, we're probably all rooting for them to do well. I think that's pretty fair. I think they're a fun team. Julio Rodriguez is very likable. And he's probably gonna be the face of the division for a while now that Shohei's out of there. So I think we're all rooting for him. I hope they knock our socks off, right? So that's Seattle. And now I think we can all agree after those three, there's a pretty large drop off. So we won't spend too much time on these last two teams because there's not a lot to talk about. The first one is Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Okay. So the LA Angels, we all know what the big storyline here. It's losing Shohei Ohtani, not being able to keep him, not being able to utilize his talent while he was an Angel. Really a disappointment. Kind of glad he's out of there. I was texting Zeke, I think it was during the Korea series, right? And I was saying, man, it's kind of nice to see Shohei play on an actual competent team because people are actually going to see what he's capable of more often. It just seemed like his career was withering away in Anaheim.
I completely agree, man. I agree with you when you text me that. Because I even was thinking, sitting there thinking the same thing at 5:30 in the morning, like, hey, this is awesome. I'm watching Shohei Ohtani on a team that he might actually do something with. So yeah, we'll definitely get into more about Ohtani later, but big loss for Anaheim as a franchise. I know they talked about spending some money this offseason. Didn't really do much of that at all, like period. Like, I don't think your average fan would know any names that they added. But that's just kind of who they are right now. So we'll see what happens.
It's a mess. It's a mess of a franchise. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I think part of it is they have this high standard that they want to achieve, that you have Shohei Ohtani, you have Mike Trout. They were kind of just throwing whatever they could at the wall last offseason or last deadline, honestly. They acquired who they get from the White Sox, why can't think of Giolito. They acquired Giolito, right? And they acquired all these guys, all these relievers. And then they dumped them in August when they knew they were out of the playoff race. That was a joke, right? You gave up you and it's sad because they just continuously are running through their farm system and not letting these guys develop. And it's pretty sad. So I hope they just take this situation where they lose Shohei, like, hey, yeah, we know Trout's here. We may trade him down the road, whatever. They need to focus on developing some of these young guys.
That's fair. If you look at the roster, I mean, they're pitching, it's just rough.
Brutal.
Griffin Canning, like, from there on, I mean, the Reed Detmers experience, like, what happened with that last year? He just fell off a cliff. It's just everyone's guy last year going into fast. I mean, you had people paying up for him. It just didn't work out at all. I will say that their lineup, it's not actually too terrible. You got Logan Ohapi. Pretty high on him, man. If he can stay healthy, he was having a solid rookie campaign last year.
Was
So was
until he got hurt.
Labrum. You got this guy, Noah Chanel. He's batting high in the order. He's a good young guy, contact guy. He's to improve his hard hit numbers and power. But if he can lead off, that would be pretty nice for him. Yeah, guys like Renifo, obviously always Trout. I tend to feel bad for him that he still has to be these guys. But another
He
young
chose
guy
that life,
like,
though.
it's true. And then another young guy like Zach Neto. But yeah, I mean, it's really rough over there. It was rough enough to the point that me and a buddy actually had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about who's truly further away from the playoffs, the Oakland A's or the Angels. And maybe we were off base a little bit, but man, it's at least something to think about. They have all the money saved up and these guys that like they're still paying Anthony Rendon and he doesn't even want to play baseball really. Like, it's rough, man.
I was gonna say, Justin, what'd you think of that comment? I'm sure you hated that.
Yeah,
You're
people
getting
who
turned
complain
down.
about playing sports, man, come on.
He's like, it's my job, you know. And that explains
Yeah,
everything. I don't know how many we have to do an analysis of how many games Anthony Rendon has actually played versus how much he gets paid because it is ridiculous. The guy's a con, he's a con man. And he almost beat up a fan too. He's had more negative interactions with fans than he has had meaningful moments as a baseball player for the Angels.
I
absolutely.
mentioned the Jokic not liking his job, but man, when you're already disliked because you're just not a great human being, and then you come out and say that, man, I'm just here for the checks, basically, like, come on, man.
That is a testament to Angels culture, though. It's not a culture that's built around winning. There's no grit there. There's no intensity. Nobody wants to be there. They're collecting checks. They're going to the ballpark, and that's it. And it's pretty sad, but also you got to do something to shift that culture. You've got to invest in your young guys, give them opportunities, develop in the international pool a little bit, maybe branch out. It's just kind of this dead end for the Angels. We've been seeing the same thing for years. I don't think they've made the playoffs since what, 2014? It's probably been that long. It's been almost a decade. It's
Yeah.
crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy that you can't make the playoffs when you have two of the best players, literally of our generation.
They not even make the playoffs. They were continuously finishing fourth in the division.
Yeah.
You were nowhere close to the playoffs. It's bad. It's bad. So yeah, they're in a hole. They're in a hole. I'm not expecting a lot. Based on talent wise, I think they'll be a little bit better than Oakland, but I think Oakland's got some, at least something going on. They're brewing something. They've worked in small market baseball before, and they've had that success. Whereas the Angels are spending like a big time ball club, but they just don't have the talent to compete. So that's about it on Anaheim. Any closing thoughts on the Angels? I mean, pretty sad state of the franchise there.
I mean, not much, man. Other than I will say, Mike Trout, he might go a little under the radar this year and have a pretty solid season if he can stay healthy, and no one will talk about it. But like, if you're talking about from a fantasy standpoint, he might have a pretty good year if he can just stay on the field, the diamond.
No, I agree. I think a lot of the fantasy projections and in general stat projections for Trout are assuming he's going to miss time because if he doesn't, I mean, he's still a stud. He's still productive when he's there. He's just never playing. Well, talking about a fantasy player that is of value, we're shifting to a team that has essentially none. Just kidding. A couple guys out there, I guess, but the Oakland Athletics, right? We mentioned it before. I put on here, it's not great when the biggest story regarding your franchise in the offseason is relocation. So we all know we talked a little bit about the Oakland Athletics in the process of moving to Las Vegas. The mayor of Las Vegas at one point said she didn't think it was a good idea for them to relocate, but she's changed her tune a little bit and redacted that. It's just a mess. At this point, I think they're still going to Vegas, but I don't really know. It's one of those we'll see when it happens kind of deal. They're scrambling to find a place to play. So organizationally, doing terrible. I'm looking at key losses, not really a whole lot to lose. James Caprillion outrighted to the minors. I mean, nothing new, nothing crazy there. Not really many big additions either. I mean, Alex Wood jumps to mind. JD Davis, third baseman from the Giants, comes over. Ross Stripling, kind of a fringe starter slash hybrid bullpen guy, nothing crazy. Abraham Toro just adds some depth. They're really just throwing together a lineup here, in my opinion. What do you think the big guys to note here are? Maybe Brent Rooker, he's looking pretty hot in spring. He had a decent start to last year, hit a good amount of home runs. You could say Estuary Ruiz, probably to steal over 40 bases this year if he stays healthy. Zach,
Man, real quick on him though, did
yeah.
you see he's not even in the opening day lineup?
Is he not?
Like, that's rough, man. Like, I mean, he's like maybe one of your only hopes, and all he's doing is stealing. But like,
Yeah.
man, not even put him on the opening day lineup. I mean, he's like, he made the roster.
He's just gonna pinch hit or pinch
Yeah,
run.
that
Pinch run. Yeah, that's
there
what.
is one guy that I'm actually pretty intrigued by, and that's Zach Gelof.
Yeah.
He went 14-14 in 69 games last year. I mean, if you put that over 182, that's over a 2020 season. It's pretty solid to be on such a bad team. So, I mean, his numbers are still going to be down just because of the guys around him. But yeah, I mean, other than Gelof and Rooker, like you said, I mean, he made the All-Star team. Not so.
Yeah, I'm
But
gonna
yeah, that's all.
point out two guys. Just we're grasping for straws here, so to speak. But JJ Bleday had a terrible, awful, no good season last year. High strikeout rate, didn't really do a whole lot. But he does come from Vanderbilt, who has a pretty good history with major league talent. When he's at Vanderbilt, he could hit the ball all the way. So. If they're going to do anything this year, they really need a guy like Bleday to break out and really fulfill his true talent. Shea Langeliers is another guy who has had some hype at times in the past. And has had some streaks where he's hit a lot of homers and gotten on base. Again, struggles with strikeouts, struggles with on-base percentage. But those two guys would be difference makers for me, along with Gelof and Rooker. So if you're looking for high spots in their lineup, I'd look for Gelof, Bleday, and Chandeliers.
There you go.
There's one guy that I forgot to mention, and it's Mason Miller. And now while he's not going to be starting anymore, he's going to potentially have a chance to win the closer job, which is super intriguing if he can stay healthy. I mean, he's a high velocity guy. And you might think that, yeah, they're gonna win no games, but their number one closer last year got 21 saves. So if he could get around, I don't know, 25 saves, and he's throwing a ton of strikeouts, it's pretty fun. That's a fun guy to have in the ninth inning. You're a young pitching talent, and it helps him stay healthy. So that's pretty intriguing as well.
Totally agree. Mason Miller last year when he first came up pitched really well in the games he pitched in, but then he just I think he's one of those guys that throws too hard and stuff on his body. So closer role will be great for him, and I'm excited to see him too, Justin.
Yeah, it's good points. Hey, I'm keying in on the Athletics here. We'll see if they can get a campaign with less than 100 losses. It's possible. It's possible. But hopefully, yeah, it would be fun. I mean, in the MLB, you don't always love to see relocation. I mean, we haven't really seen relocation since Washington, I think. So it's always fun when you have a new city, you have a new market that you're introducing, and that you at least have somebody to root for. I think the worst thing that could happen is if they make the shift to Las Vegas and nobody goes to the games because the product is so terrible. So you kind of hope for the betterment of the league and the betterment of the franchise that somebody hits here. So I hope it happens. I hope they find their guy. Hope they find their star here. So the A's, I think they'll be better than last year. That's not saying a whole lot. But I think they will be. So, that's where we'll go there with the A's. All right. So we go from the AL over to the NL next. So we spent quite a bit of time, Zeke and I did, talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers. Justin, we'll get your thoughts on it as well. But we talked about, of course, Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, Teoscar Hernandez. Yamamoto, all joining a team that won over 100 games last year. Also some smaller signings, Jason Hayward, Joe Kelly, who's got some pretty nasty stuff out of the bullpen, Clayton Kershaw, who's going to miss at least the first half of the year, James Paxton. Couple things to note. I mean, you're losing JD Martinez, but when you're considering that he's just strictly a DH and you've added Shohei Ohtani, we'll take that every day, right? If you're a Dodgers fan. But other than that, nothing crazy. I think this lineup, this rotation, is going to be awesome. Justin, what are your thoughts on the overall trend of the Dodgers this offseason?
Yeah, like you guys have mentioned on a couple podcasts ago, it's 100% win the chip or bust. You've got to win with this lineup, this rotation. I mean, and they're just star-studded. I need to get your guys' thoughts on the whole Shohei Ohtani betting scandal. But first, like, you just look at this team, man. That's leading off. Moved to shortstop now. This guy, such a valuable fantasy and real-life asset. Shohei, second. Freddie, third. Solid. Will Smith, Max Muncy. I mean, he's big power. I know he strikes out all the time. Signing Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, for most teams, that's like a splash signing. Mm-hmm. That just went under the radar. And now he's probably going to have an amazing season. This is a better ballpark for him. He's always big hard hit numbers, batting average, homers. I mean, he's going to be in for a great season. And then you ended out with Outman, who wasn't bad last year. Jason Hayward, Gavin Lux. With the rotation, Tyler Glass now, super high on him, man. Supposedly, they finally found the problem that has been string him over and over and over, and they can never get it fixed. Now, supposedly, but it's actually fixed. So if he can get, like, I don't know, even like 100 innings, over 100 innings, finally, once, he could have just a Cy Young season. Bobby Miller, everyone's high on him. That's the big name this year. Fastball 99 had a great season. If he just it's the home runs, man, he's great. Yamamoto, I know he's struggling right now, but he's great in the baseball classic. You know, 1.16 ERA and just 76 strikeouts and 28 walks in Japan last season. He has a curve, a cutter, a splitter. I mean, expect this guy to turn it around after he adjusts to MLB pitching. And Gavin Stone, James Paxton, some guys on the IL. I mean, this team's stacked, man.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough team. That's a great roster. Honestly, when you're reading that, and I was just sitting back, I'm like, man, is this the NL All-Star roster right now? And no, it's the Dodgers. So going to be great. But, you know, you mentioned they're going to get Walker Buehler back, right? They're going to get Clayton Kershaw back at some point as well. So Dustin May. Yeah. So it's, I mean, they're friggin' loaded. They really are. This might be a year where we don't see him make a huge splash at the deadline. They might. They usually always do. They're the Dodgers, right? But yeah, I think they're going to be the clear head and shoulders top tier, along with the Braves in the National League, but definitely in the NL West. But you mentioned something, Justin, and I'm kind of curious what you and Zeke think about this too. The Shohei Ohtani scandal, the really odd, bizarre story here. So Shohei Ohtani, right? We all know Shohei Ohtani. Apparently, his translator stole $4.5 million from him to cover, either he placed it on sports bets or was covering some losses and payments that were made to a bookie. It was a very odd situation. And you hear all sorts of conspiracy theories, right? You hear, oh, well, Shohei's very private. He didn't tell anybody about his wife, and now he married her. And you know, if he's hiding that, what else can he hide? Maybe this is all a ploy and a huge cover up for Shohei Ohtani's gambling addiction. I don't buy that. What do you guys think? What are your thoughts on it?
I will say that it's a really weird situation. If what's been reported that it was his translator did all this, man, what a stab in the back, because they've been going back for, I mean, I saw a picture and they were young. So that means that they've been going back for years, ever even before Shohei was in the majors. It's just a major stab in the back to Shohei if that was the case. But now, whoever Shohei's PR guy is doing a terrible job of making Shohei not look look guilty. He's just, quite frankly, making him look super guilty. Like the press conference, like it got like he said, I'm not going to be taking any questions. And he said, I'm going to have a press conference. Comes out an hour later, he's still not taking any questions, and he's only going to make a statement. The statement was just basically him saying, I never placed any bets. It's like, well, man, you gotta, I don't know, man.
Convince me,
You got to
right?
prove your innocence somehow, and this is not the way to go about it. So it's a super weird situation.
Yeah, it is, man. And I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I have watched enough TV to where my mind starts going places, you know. And here it is, we have this very innocent face of the MLB, very likable guy in Ohtani. But man, what kind of TV show would it be to have this guy as like a mob boss or some sort of liaison for a Asian mob? I mean, I could go a million different ways with this, especially with the fact that this translator, just as Justin pointed out, has been a longtime friend of Ohtani. I mean, Justin, would you ever steal $4.5 million from me? I mean, we go way back. Would you do that? He said maybe, but you can't see him if you're not watching the live cast. But I don't think he would, and I just can't imagine. I can't imagine that Ohtani didn't know about this. And talking about PR, I mean,
Well,
you know, they got guys for this. They got guys for this.
they
They should
do.
be taking. They should be handling this.
It's super weird. It's kind of if this guy, if his translator did have a gambling problem and needed the money, I think $4.5 million. I mean, it's not a it's a large amount of money, right? Don't get me wrong, but when you talk about the endorsement deals that Shohei has, not that crazy. The one thing that I think we can kind of dispel, I don't think this is an issue of Shohei Ohtani having a gambling problem, and gambling on all these other sports. Do you think that a guy who's struggling with a massive gambling problem would willingly defer 190 plus million dollars of his contract, after signing this massive $200 million deal? I don't think so, personally. Now, some.
Unless that he's got all this other off the table money coming in, John.
I mean, it's possible, but
Little
I like to
laundering
think.
money scheme going on.
See, I like Shohei Ohtani. I want him to do well. I want to think the best of him. So, I'm okay with putting a little bit of blame on the guy who apparently lied about attending colleges, lied about prior work experiences.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's if it looks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? Like, I think it's probably on him.
An underrated aspect of this is, and you just gotta feel bad for this new translator. I don't know if you saw the video, but it looked
No.
like this guy was sweating bullets. I mean, to come in and just read off potential lies. I mean, we don't know. If Shohei's just lying about this whole thing, this guy comes in first day on the job and has probably who knows how many media members are watching that. I mean, if you just gotta feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. He's thrown right into the fire, man. I mean, you talk about your first public appearance, I guess, with Shohei. It's like one of the biggest baseball press conferences that there's been in the last decade, and it was kind of a clunker, honestly. I wanted more. I wish he would have answered questions. I do, but I know Otani's very private, whatever, you know. But yeah, it is kind of, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of odd. The whole marriage thing, like, was there something on, what was the timing of that? Why was he so private? Why didn't he disclose it? It's just an
Let's
odd.
just talk in terms of hypotheticals here. So let's say that it comes out and they can confirm pretty reasonably that Ohtani has been betting on not baseball games, but other sporting events. What happens to his reputation? Does he get suspended and for how long?
I think 20 years ago, yeah. I think now in the common day of sports gambling and sports betting, how accessible it is, I think he gets a lighter pass, is my guess.
Do you think like a year? six, I mean, half a season, 80. What are you thinking?
If he gets caught gambling on other sports,
Yeah.
maybe, dude, I don't think hardly anything.
You don't think so?
I really don't. I think like it's pretty darn common. I think it's different. Like if he's betting MLB, if he's betting on his team, yeah, that's terrible. He might get, I don't know. I'd say half a season would be max, but I still don't think it's gonna happen.
If they're anything like the NFL, he'll get a strict one. But
Yeah.
I don't know the MLB's view on that, on the betting thing.
Yeah. I think he's also the face of the league. I think like I'd say the biggest guy that got in trouble from gambling was probably Jameson Williams, and his suspension eventually got cut down to four games.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. Yeah, but he was the first one. So
That's
maybe
true.
they make an example out of Shohei. We'll see, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to think, honestly. We probably will never know, but I hope we do. I hope there's like going to be a 30 for 30 that comes out, or a documentary that comes out in a
Do you
couple.
think this is the time for Pete Rose to be making a bit of a stink and being like, hey, look, face of the league, caught up in this gambling scandal?
I think he should. I mean, it's weird because the sports gambling landscape has changed so much over the last years, last 5 years. That the fact that it's widely accessible now it's weird. It's weird. But Pete Rose allegedly did bet on his own team, so I think that makes a little difference.
That is a little different. A little different.
Well, enough about Ohtani. Enough about the Dodgers. Okay, you know it's we could gossip. We could be conspiracy theorists, right? But let's talk about their biggest competition, or what I think is their biggest competition. That's the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, Justin, I just have to say, you hopped on and we talked Diamondbacks last year. You and I were both pretty high on them, and we were correct. I don't think we would have guessed that they would have made the World Series by any means. They definitely overachieved in that regard. But they got a lot of these key pieces coming back, right? The main guys you're looking at that you lose are the veteran and Evan Longoria. You lose Tommy Pham. But what did the Diamondbacks do? They re-signed Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who was very solid, very reliable veteran for them. They signed Jock Peterson to give him a little bit more outfield depth. Eugenio Suarez they signed to take over for Longoria, who I think probably an upgrade there. And then the biggest thing that they did, what was the biggest part that we heard on of the Diamondbacks all last season, especially after the trade deadline? They didn't address their starting pitching as much as we wanted them to. Now they, right before we jumped on here, they signed Jordan Montgomery, who's a great lefty, to a 2-year deal. They also signed Eduardo Rodriguez, who I'm not a fan of. Everybody knows, everybody listening to this knows I don't like him. But when we're talking about the nuts and bolts, that's a solid lefty that you add to your rotation to complement Zach Gallen, who's already there. I think the Diamondbacks just got a lot better by bolstering their rotation, and they've got a lot of young talent. I'm still quite high on Arizona.
With good
Yeah.
reason, John. Now you look at their rotation and it looks pretty formidable. Gallen, Montgomery, Kelly, Rodriguez, Fott, just like you just mentioned. Mix that with a pretty good lineup there with Corbin Carroll at the top. I know Justin's a pretty big Corbin Carroll guy, so I'm sure he'll get into that. But yeah, this is another fun team coming off a great postseason run last year. It's going to be a fun one to watch.
Oh wow, this is very minuscule. If I'm the Diamondbacks, I go get Tommy Pham back. I mean, he had a great postseason. Why not just for some depth? But it's very minor. Yeah, man, great lineup. I love Corbin Carroll. I mean, there's really not much to say. I mean, this guy just showed everything he could do last year. You worry about the whole sophomore slump thing, but I feel like he can get through it if he can stay healthy. But I mean, their lineup is super solid. A guy that I like that could have potentially have a great year in the lineup is Gabby Moreno.
Yeah.
He had a great playoffs last year, and he was batting cleanup or third for them in the playoffs, and he was solid. He'll move back in the rotation a little bit now with Christian Walker, Gurriel. They'll probably bat third and fourth, but he could be in for a great year. He's a solid contact guy, and he's young. So if he can just tap into some power, he could have a great year. And they could potentially bring up Jordan Lawler at some point this year. He struggled last year mightily, but I mean, he's a good power speed guy in the minors. He's just got to work on some strikeouts. But their strength, as you said, was their rotation. I do think Zach Gallen could regress a little bit this year. They're not going to push his innings as much. He threw 243 innings last year. So they're not going to push him into that seventh inning as much. And so he might regress a little bit. But the guy I'm looking at is Brandon Pfaadt. He was their best pitcher in the World Series, better than Zach Gallen. So if he can just continue his success that he found in the postseason, he can move up to top two starting pitcher in their rotation.
Yeah.
Still have Merrill Kelly, a guy that everyone forgets. He's just solid. And then, like you said, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
About Rodriguez, he's already on the shelf. It's terrible for him. But Paul Sewald, not my favorite. But
Paul Sewald.
He's there.
Paul Sewald. I think he's great. Yes.
Yeah, man. They're definitely competition Dodgers.
Yeah, it's a scary team. Another guy, too, is Ketel Marte. Had a great bounce back season last year. He's a spark plug for him. I do like Moreno, as you mentioned, as well. Christian Walker's going to hit a bunch of home runs, just like he did last year. I think this is a good team. I think it's a solid team. One thing that I look back on is that trade that they made with Toronto. I think it was last offseason, where they acquired Gabriel Moreno, who was pretty good last year. I think his potential is still sky high. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who they just re-signed. And they traded away Dalton Varsho, who really had a pretty poor season in Toronto. So I think Arizona saw the writing on the wall. They're like, hey, we want a good quality catcher. We've got a lot of outfielders that we really like in Carroll and in Thomas. Like, hey, let's make the move. And I think in hindsight, it was a really, really good decision for them. I don't think they're quite at the tier of the Dodgers at all, especially in terms of regular season team. But like we saw last postseason, you give a best of five series and Arizona can beat just about anybody. So excited.
Yeah, I agree, though. That trade, looking back on it, is great. Because, I mean, at the time, you look at it, and Dalton Varsho is a pretty nice piece to have on the team. You trade him before his value decreases. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah. I think it was a good move, and it was one of those where on the surface we see, you know, players for what they want, but the organization saw the holes that they needed to fill, and I think they did it seamlessly. I think Arizona's front office is very smart, very savvy. So yeah, I feel good about the Diamondbacks. I'm excited to watch some games in the desert here this week. So looking forward to that. All right, guys, the team. The next team, I think very interesting team, very polarizing team, a team that could go in a lot of different directions. The San Francisco Giants have been trying for years, guys, for years, to have a stellar, just awesome, amazing, massive signings in the offseason. And they have failed spectacularly for what seems like forever, whether it's Judd, whether it's Correa, all these other guys that they've been tied to, they haven't been able to land them. The San Francisco Giants, they landed a couple big fish this year. The first one was Jung-Hoo Lee, who's an outfielder coming over, which is great for them. Jordan Hicks, smaller deal. But the big three that I'm talking about are Jorge Soler, signed to a three-year deal. Zeke, you know him very well from his postseason run. Hit over 30 home runs with the Marlins last year. Got Matt Chapman, who's probably one of the bigger names on the free agent market. Scott Boras agent, best third baseman on the market for sure. And then Blake Snell, who waited out, finally signs to a two-year deal with an opt-out after 1 year, really bolsters that rotation, which was much needed for San Francisco. What do you think about these moves? Do you think that the Giants are just throwing money just to try to be competitive? Do you think this puts the roster in a much better spot with the three wildcard spots available? What are your initial thoughts on what the Giants did this offseason?
So I'm looking at it and starting to think that this might be my Diamondbacks. And they're just solid when you look at it. I mean, yeah, Jung-Hoo Lee, he's gonna lead off. Jorge Soler at second, just solid power. He is gonna struggle with that with the ballpark factor. And Miami definitely should have paid him. I'm not That's a whole nother conversation of what Miami is doing. But Matt Chapman, I think he's gonna have a better year because he's a great pool header, and what you want to do is hit it in a Giants park. You don't want to hit it to the river side or whatever that is.
Right field
You
side.
want to you want to you want to pool the ball. He struggled last year, but he was number two in the entire league in hard hit since last year. So he's due for positive regression. Not to mention he's always a gold glover. I'm big on a guy, Thario Estrada. I think he could be a 2020 guy. He's great at walking. He runs well. He doesn't hit the ball very hard, but I think he could have a solid season. Got with Yastrzemski, Lamont Wade. When you even go to their rotation, Logan Webb, second in the Cy Young last season. He's just great all around, minus strikeouts. It's durable, 99th percentile in ground ball and walk percentage. Kyle Harrison's a young guy that everyone like is talking about. He struggled last year with ERA and homers, but he could improve this year. Said Blake Snell. They have a guy, Keaton Wynn, who's young. There is one question I have. Is Jordan Hicks starting rotation thing really going to work? I don't think so. But and then they have Camilo Duvall, who's an elite closer, the bullpen. So when you look at it, this team is just all around solid. I think they could sneak into the playoffs and then make some noise.
It is an even year, guys. Remember that from back in the day? It's an even year. This is when the Giants usually win their World Series.
Oh.
Remember that? It was like a couple, it was like a decade ago, whatever, but I'm aging myself here, Zeke.
That's okay. I do
Your take.
agree, as kind of putting a couple points from you as well as Justin here together. With the expanded postseason and the ability for more teams to make it in, the Giants certainly have a team that's good enough to make the postseason, per Justin's points there. And then once you get into the postseason, you have a guy like Logan Webb, Blake Snell, and maybe a wild card between Harrison Hicks, Wynn, and maybe another pitcher that comes along. Those are three quality pitchers that can win you a series, especially a five-game series. I love the Jorge Soler signing. The Braves didn't really have room for him, but man, he's just a great guy to have on the ball team. I could go on and on about the moment in the World Series, with the video from that, but it's a good mix of boring players, in the lineup, and that's no insult. That's a good thing. So just as Justin pointed out, they could certainly manufacture enough runs to really make this a competitive ball team.
I think one thing about Soler in general, and one thing about San Francisco, I would say, is San Francisco has kind of become the opposite of Colorado when it comes to ballparks. Everybody likes to go to Colorado because they bolster their stats, they get a lot of home runs, the altitude, yada yada. It's the opposite in San Francisco. Justin alluded to it earlier. They get that breeze that's coming in because the ballpark's right on the bay. So a lot of guys struggle to hit home runs. You guys know who the last San Francisco Giant to hit 30 runs? 30 home runs in a season was. Who do you think it was?
I don't know.
Barry Bonds was the
Oh man,
Barry
that's
Bonds.
who I was thinking, but I was like, there's no way it's been too long.
Barry Bonds. So if that doesn't tell you how hard it is to be a power hitter in San Francisco, I don't know. Maybe that's why Aaron Judge didn't want to go there. So Jorge Soler may be able to provide that. But they need offense. But I think also upper management's like, hey, we're not going to win by hitting a ton of home runs in our ballpark. We have to play to our strength. That's going to be defense. That's going to be pitching. I think the moves they made this offseason could help them get there. It'll be an interesting thing to watch. I still think Arizona in Los Angeles is still a little bit ahead. But I think the Giants may have generated a little bit of separation or at least gotten to a similar level as the next team we'll talk about in the Padres. But yeah, I like the Giants too. I think they can make a run. I think they could surprise a lot of people. Let's talk a little about the Padres, okay? Because I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this as well. Okay. We have already talked, Zeke. We talked about the massive trade. Juan Soto is gone. Trent Grisham is gone. Michael King is in, as well as some other pitchers as well. But they lost a good amount of their rotation. Blake Snell's gone. Michael Wacu had a pretty solid season, gone. Seth Lugo, who was kind of that hybrid, mainly a starter in San Diego, he's gone. Gary Sanchez, who was a spark plug offensively, kind of came out of nowhere, was bouncing around. We thought he found a home in San Diego, helped turn Snell around. Some of Snell's best stuff came when Gary Sanchez was behind the plate. He's gone. So a lot of guys are gone. A lot of guys are missing. They did add Dylan Cease, which was one of the huge trades, one of the big talking pieces we talked about 2 weeks ago, Zeke, is where would Dylan Cease end up? And he is in San Diego. They also add Jurickson Profar, a couple of guys overseas, pitchers. Does this excite you? What do you think about the Padres? I think we'd all agree this is a team that has underperformed significantly over the last couple of years. Is this the year they turn it around, or do we see them kind of middling, maybe regressing even further from where they've been?
I kind of find this team to be a little bit exciting for me. I think they've got enough talent there. I'm really kind of surprised just saying it out loud, but that's the way I feel at the moment. Coming out, you know, you had the game, the series against the Dodgers. They come out and won one of two there. Put up a lot of runs in the second game. Bogaerts, Tatis, Machado, Cronenworth, Profar, those are all pretty quality bats that can generate runs. You've got a guy named Jackson Merrill who's coming up, made the team out of camp. And has really surprised a lot of people at his rise to the roster. So a lot of good quality bats there. And if one or two surprises come along the way, which happen every year for teams, could certainly generate a good roster. Mix that with a starting rotation. Again, we're looking for a big three, thinking about the playoffs. And I believe they have that with Kitchen Sink Darvish, no-hitter Musgrove, and Cy Young candidate Dylan Cease. A lot of guys with upside. I think Justin may be a big Michael King guy. We'll get him to talk more about that in a second. So, yeah, a lot of good things San Diego's got going on in the West.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I'm kind of high on both these teams, right? I'm high on San Francisco. I'm high on San Diego a little bit. But
someone's got to lose, John.
Someone's got to lose. You're right. That's going to be Colorado. Okay, we'll get to them in a minute. But with San Diego, I think you're right. I feel a lot better about this team after the Dylan Cease trade. I really do. I think Cease is a guy that was playing in a organization that was not all that exciting. He wasn't a fan of his teammates. He was vocal about how he didn't like being in Chicago. I think this might be the change of scenery that he needs. And I think that he's going to perform quite well. You add Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove as well. And yeah, you lose Soto, but you still got perennial all-stars in Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, and Fernando Tatis in your lineup. So you still have that star power. You knew you weren't going to pay Soto anyway. So getting some pitching depth back is helpful as well. Justin, what do you think? Are you sold on the Padres potentially being in that wild card conversation, or are you out?
Yeah, man, I think so. But just looking at this division now, as we've been talking, I mean, it could arguably be even just as competitive as AL West, just the Dodgers. You know, they're just top heavy, but I mean, it's a better back end for sure. I like this team, honestly. Jackson Merrill, like Zeke mentioned briefly, I mean, he played well in Korea, I believe. He had a few hits in RBI, maybe, and he made the opening roster. I mean, that's solid to have at the back with the loaded front, obviously. Bogaerts leading off and all the guys we've already mentioned. When we look at the rotation, the guy that Zeke didn't mention or briefly mentioned was Michael Keane. I'm super excited about this guy. He was good in his limited starts as a Yankee last year. He's a fastball seeker and a changeup, high strikeouts, even better ballpark. And not that this means anything, but they've said that they're not going to limit his innings, and he's just going to go as far as he can. So I expect a breakout season from King, and he's your fourth guy. I expect a better season from Cease this year. He was pretty unlucky last year. Has a better defense behind him now. I mean, White Sox defense is just rough. Last year, Tim Anderson out there just playing. Yeah, I mean, Padres, they always get the best out of their pitchers. So I expect a good year in them. And then they also have this guy, Yuki Matsui, who's going to just be the closer for them coming over from Japan. He was pretty solid last year, fastball, splitter, slider. So, yeah, I mean, you get some help in the bullpen, but other than that, they're pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's gonna be a fun race, and I think the thing we're gonna be talking about, especially when it comes to August, September, is gonna be this NL wild card situation, because we got three wild cards available, right? You know, someone in the NL Central is gonna win, right? Presumably, I think the Braves and the Dodgers will kind of separate themselves, so they're probably gonna be the division leaders there. Then you got three spots, so three spots between Arizona, San Francisco, San Diego, Philadelphia, potentially. I mean, last year we saw a team like Miami come out of nowhere. There's going to be a team that comes out of nowhere. Somewhere in the NL Central could do that as well. I think it's going to be very, very competitive down the stretch. And one of the that's one of the things I go back and forth on if I'm pro playoff expansion or not. I tend to think that it does make the regular season pretty interesting. It does make teams a little bit more aggressive. And I think the Padres are one of those teams that could be very, very aggressive at the deadline. Or they could mail it in. So it could be a couple different ways, but I do agree. I think they're going to surprise some people. What would you say right now, if you had to predict who's going to finish higher in the standings, San Diego or San Francisco?
Probably gonna stick with San Francisco, but I mean, it could be neck and neck until last week. You never know.
Yeah.
I might go with San Diego.
Yeah.
I believe the chemistry and the leadership abilities out of guys like Machado that have been there, been around the league for a long time, could be what makes the difference between a team like San Diego and the Giants. So I'm going to go with the Padres on this one.
Okay. So I'm the tiebreaker then. I'm gonna lean towards the Giants a little bit, just a little bit. It's close. It's close. I'm sorry, Zeke, but
That's all right, man. I feel confident with my answer.
I just like what you talk about. I think Blake Snell's a huge X factor. Okay, I think you look at it and he's a guy that has Cy Young potential. We've seen a couple pitchers go to San Francisco. And that staff is able to help him out. It's able to work him out, help him turn a corner. So I think you're talking about a guy that's already at the peak of his game, potentially even getting better. You throw it into a situation where he's got an opt-out after 1 year. I think the Giants may look at that and be like, hey, this guy might be gone next year. Let's keep pitching him, right? Like he's been taken very well care of. His innings have been limited his entire career. Let's get everything we can out of him. So that could lead to some long starts for him when he gets ramped up. I think it's going to be great. I like it. I'm a fan of the Giants. I'm not really a fan of the Giants, but I like what they're doing. I can see the vision. I can see things going forward. So I'm gonna go San Francisco by just a little bit. But I think both teams will overachieve based on what people are perceiving. Last team. I mean, do we have to talk much about Colorado here? The Colorado Rockies really haven't done a whole lot. Oh, okay. Zeke's got the Colorado Rockies hat. That's a
That's
smooth.
right.
That's a
Hey,
nice little hat.
courtesy of it's faded now, but and you can't even see it. That's not my bird finger, that's my pointer finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, cameras blotted out, but signed by Rex Brothers.
Okay.
A local guy who was a closer for the Rockies back when guys like Blackman and Story were there.
There you go.
Fun fact, coming up through the minor leagues, he was actually a roommate of Charlie Blackman. So they're real good buds and it's kind of cool. But,
That is pretty
anyways,
neat.
yeah, I like the color too because it was the same color as my high school colors, purple.
There you
So,
go. It's just
anyways.
that's one thing I can't argue with. I think the Rockies have a very fun color scheme in terms of jerseys. They've got a fun mascot with they've got that dinosaur. It's great. They've got that going for it.
And
They've
that's
got
our
a,
analysis on the Rockies.
yeah, they've got a
Done.
really cool outfield, you know, where they got
Yeah, it
things
is cool.
going. It's pretty awesome.
And I heard they have recreational things in Colorado,
They do like mile
including good
high.
hiking. I don't know what you were thinking about, John, but
Go
hiking.
hiking over to Mile High Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Um, it's,
They no longer have a quarterback in Denver.
No, they don't. Russell Wilson's gone, so that's pretty good. The city's a little less dangerous now that he's out of there.
I think for me, we got one guy to talk about here with the Rockies, Ezekiel Tovar, coming off a decent off or a decent season last year. Rockies are trying to plant some sort of flag for their franchise to look forward to over the future. Justin, what do you think about Ezekiel Tovar? You high on him or not really?
Yeah, I like him. He had a solid year last year, 15-11, and he's expected to run more this season. He was top 10 shortstop in hits, runs, RBIs. So he's having a good spring. If he can limit the strikeouts, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited about him. The guy I'm surprised you didn't talk about though was Nolan Jones. But I'm gonna be the guy to pour some water on this a little bit. I feel as though he's being a little overrated, and like from a fantasy perspective anyway, he's getting drafted pretty high when you're looking at like ADP, that type of thing. He had a solid second half, but I mean he's a 400 BABIP. That's not sustainable. He's actually better on the road than at home, which is interesting. So he'll probably get 20-20, but just for how people are talking about him, I don't think he's gonna live up to the expectation. I do think he's gonna be pretty solid to good. Just I don't think he's gonna live up to the hype.
I mean, I'm looking at Baseball Reference, so I will push back on this a little bit, Justin. He was 2020 last year, which to Zeke and I is very important, right? Because we're eye doctors,
That's
2020.
right. That's right. Still got docs. Let's go, sir.
Justin just rolling his eyes. But 100, that was over 106 games. So if he plays a full, 150, 160, we could see those numbers increase. Batting average of 297, not anything to shrug at either. I get what you're saying, and I think he's listening a little bit too much to Chris Bryant in terms of his own ballpark, right? They must, not hit well there. He might be a little bit overrated, but at least he's excited. For the Rockies, he's exciting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
What do you think about the acquisition of Cal Quantrill? Anybody feeling excited about that? Guys ready to see Austin Gomber go on the mound for the fifth year in a row and give up six runs a night?
Yeah.
Dakota Hudson? No, nobody.
And Austin Gomber,
Crickets.
he was a big streamer guy for me about 3 years ago.
Yes. Have they finally moved on from Herman Marquez?
Nope, he's injured.
He's just hurt. Is he coming back?
Yep, just
Doesn't
injured.
escape. That guy should have got out of there a couple years ago. He may have actually had a decent career if he had pitched for somebody else.
I know. That's the thing is they just the Rockies have absolutely no direction. So when I saw that they extended Tovar, I was like, thank goodness they're actually doing something. Like the way that they just completely blundered the Trevor Story situation. At least they traded away Nolan Arenado, but I mean, there's no direction here. It's pretty sad.
They literally have no exciting prospects outside of a guy named Adeel Amater, who's evidently the eighth overall prospect, but I've never even heard of him before. So I don't
And
know if that's just them throwing him a bone or what.
it's
Yeah.
a good sports town. Like Denver's a great sports city. Why can't the baseball team at least try? I just don't understand it. It's pretty frustrating. But my question for you guys, who do you think ends up with more wins, the Colorado Rockies or the Oakland Athletics? We talked
Oh,
about
Rockies.
the
Rockies.
Rockies.
Yeah,
Ooh, I'm
I
smashing the Athletics on this one.
I might venture towards the Athletics just because they play in a division where I think they can pick up a couple more wins. I could see the A's getting a couple series wins against the Angels. I could see them getting a couple against, maybe one against the Mariners. I think the Rockies go up against any other team in the NL West and they are just getting lost, respectfully.
Yeah,
So
that's fair. The only thing I stick on is if you look at their lineup, it's really not bad.
it's not bad.
The rotation is kind of equal to the Athletics, but the lineup I would definitely have to say is better
Yeah.
than the A's.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But you also add the fact that they're in a ballpark where other lineups are also going to be accentuated. So it's tough to say. I mean, we're really comparing two really crappy franchises. I mean, it's not looking great. I think out of all the divisions, these are the two teams that you're like, yeah, they're going to finish last.
Yeah.
There's really no question there. But well, that's a great way to wrap up our division previews here. So thank you, Justin, for providing lots of insight. Zeke, of course, as always, good to have you here. Any closing thoughts before we venture on? I know we got we're under 48 hours until a full slate on Thursday. It's an exciting time.
I'm actually off on Thursday this week, so I might actually be able to watch some opening day baseball, which is exciting. Should be a fun time. It's gonna be a great season, and it's good to finally get back here. I've had nightmares of the COVID season. A couple nights here recently, just thinking about not having baseball for 4 or 5 more months. But you know, we're here. It's happening. Let's go get it. Good luck to all of our teams, right?
That's right. Good luck to the Braves. Good luck to the Tigers. Good luck to Justin. Who do you like?
Fantasy team, man.
The fantasy. Let's see.
Hey, that's his generation, right, John? It's all about fantasy.
It is. It's all about his boys, man. And that's fine. I respect that. Respect the hustle.
Yeah, hey, man. John, I'm just looking forward to it too.
Yeah. Do you have any hot takes, Justin? I feel like Justin's the guy of hot takes. Do you have one bold take about the MLB season that you're willing to put into this podcast?
Yeah, my only one would be the Mariners winning the division.
Okay. Going to the World Series?
Maybe. They have the pitching for it.
Plant your flag, Justin. Plant your flag.
Give me a World Series.
Yeah.
Hold on. No, pause.
Okay.
Are we having a preview next week? Are we having
is Justin coming on again for it?
Justin,
I think it's just Kyle, right? Or is Kyle still coming on?
You're welcome to come on again if you'd like.
I'm willing to, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll save
it. Let's save it for next week.
Okay, we'll save it for next week. We will be a couple games in when we record the next one, but we will have our predictions podcast for the divisions and some awards as well. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to having you back. Justin, don't play too much Fortnite this spring break, okay?
I'll try, man.
All right. You guys have a good night. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll see you guys next week.